This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Hello and welcome to On The Wire. It is the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby special. Who remembers what a duty free looks like, by the way? Certainly not me, but I do remember what Fran Berry, Johnny MacDonald of our sponsors Bar One, and Brendan Duke look like. Afternoon, good morning to you all, gents.
Morning, Johnny.
Lads, how are we?
I think the only place to start here is Juki's update on, did he get a second date with the girl who was cycling last weekend? Over to you, Juki.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking her out for a bite to eat on Sunday. But, I mean, we only have the table for about 10 seconds and the dinner's at 6 o'clock. So I don't know what I'm going to do after that. But I'm freestyling away, Johnny. I mean, you have to bear in mind that I met this woman on the street. I didn't meet her in traditional form on Tinder. So the whole thing's a bit... The whole thing's a bit of a guess up, but second date. So that's progress. Oh, but I mean, that's not my news. Absolute scenes this weekend. I'm only going to the Derby tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that actually is pretty exciting. For a moment there, I thought you were actually going to meet her for dinner during the Irish card on Sunday, which would have been a massive statement of intent. But how would you get tickets for the Derby?
I know people, Johnny. I'm a face in Irish racing. I can't divulge my connections, but it's come as no surprise to any of us, has it, that I am connected.
Fran Berry, you will be there, I presume?
Yeah, and you're tomorrow and Sunday. Looking forward to it. Must say it's fantastic to have the lineup in the Irish Derby that we have three or four English challengers in it, Johnny. That's been lacking for a few years now, and a good spread of Irish trained horses as well. So it's great to see.
And as a sponsor, Johnny Mac, you can only love the makeup of this race with your traditional each-way terms, many, many angles into it. A favourite that is definitely worth taking on from the perspective of price if you're into that alone. And it just looks like as a sponsor, it has a lot going for it, the race.
Yeah, it should be a good betting heat, Johnny. We've had a few drab renewals over the last 10 years. And so we got a few screamers as well. Sovereign in 2019 was a screamer. We got the book there, but it should be a good betting heat. And I would imagine all bookmakers will be out to get this favourite on Saturday.
Yeah, I am as well, actually, with the Horse at a Big Price. And I went for Horse at a Big Price with my nap last weekend. That's where we're going to start before we get to Johnny Murta, who Fran and I spoke to a few minutes ago, live from the Curragh Gallops. Obviously, it was live a few minutes ago. It's not live now, and it certainly won't be live when you listen or view this. But let's start with you, Juki. Second at 5-1, Right Turn.
Yes, Right Turn, I thought ran pretty well. He had a bit of a wide trip, but I actually thought it was a pretty good ride in the circumstances. I thought she wanted to be on the pace as well, to come from off the pace. Maybe it wasn't enough of a stamina test for a Right Turn. I'd say he stepped up to a mile and a half. He has a race in him.
Fran, Safari Quest continuing your recent run of horses finishing worse than ninth.
In my defence, we did say Point Lonsdale 2 weeks ago and reiterated that on the Saturday. So once he won, it was all immaterial with Safari Quest, I hope.
But, immaterial now, but yeah, go on.
No, Safari Quest was very disappointing. He made a running from wide draw and paid a price for that. Nothing that lay up at the pace and Down Royal on the round track stayed there the other day. There was a big bias for horses finishing from the rear, and that's my excuse, Johnny.
I'm firmly a believer in backing horses the following day at a bigger price if they disappoint. I've a grave record of tipping horses who flop but win the day I don't tip them. And that could be the case with Fran, although it's not really a habit you want to get into either. Let's get to Johnny Mac. She's hybrid seventh in the Ulster Derby.
Yeah, she ran okay. I think Sam Ewing was caught out on a wing and a prayer there on the way down the hill. I thought she ran okay, probably a bit better than her official position.
This is the theme of our naps overlook. I think she ran better than her finishing position. Actually, she was caught in a wide draw. Ah, you shouldn't have been up with the pace. That
tell that to the bank manager.
Yeah, we're just absolutely full of excuses. I tipped Hot Sunset, who was third at 20-1. Actually ran a lovely race, but again, gave away a lot of ground at start. But let's cut to the chase here, lads. Very briefly, the whole Jim Bulger comments, Fran. I mean, what do we make of it all? And he could be there could be a kind of a dull committee here. And Irish racing reeling a little bit the last couple of weeks.
It is. Do you know what? When you go walking in the mornings, you have things in your mind and you try to work through every scenario of it. And that's been a running theme with the Bulger thing. I going around in circles with it, Johnny. I think the dull committee here, and I don't know what that'll achieve. I keep coming back to one thing, two things. There's nobody in Ireland training winners that shouldn't be training winners. You know, the people with the right horses are training winners. So as regards, I don't see anything out of the ordinary. But if there is doping or evidence of doping, people will know. And the only way you bring them out into the open is by putting up a huge reward, put up $100,000 for information leading to doping, conviction of doping, because people, if it's going on, they will know. And the only way you'll draw them out is with a financial reward, I think, because they're doing it for a financial reason anyway. So put out a huge reward. If it's there, that'll draw them out. That's very simple, I think, a way of dealing with it, because you could be going around circles for months with this.
What have you made of it, Juki?
I mean, I don't know. I think I was as baffled by Jer. So Jer went on the radio, Jer Lyon, should I say, to say, well, I'm not doing it. How can I be competitive? And that's what I don't understand, because as Fran says, it sort of makes sense. You hear about these guys in America who are giving them snake venom or whatever potions they're giving them. They claim horses for $10,000 and turn them into group horses. You don't really see much of that in Ireland. And the guys who've come through, like Jer Lyons, Cromwell, Gordon Elliott, Henry de Bromhead, it's organic growth. It makes sense. It's not like they just have one season where they've got the good juice and they have a great year and then everyone catches up and they regress to the mean. That doesn't happen. They progress as an organization because they're a well-run organization, not because they're doping the horses. And what happens, I feel, with this is you get into two camps. You get people like me who are there. Now, it's not going on because kind of fans with typewriters, I don't want it to be going on because I want what I'm watching to be straight. And that might be being a bit naive, but you get other people, and I have friends like this, so I obviously have a lot of time for them, but they think everything is dirty. All sports are dirty. The only way you can be successful is to be dirty. And the problem with that is it's like conspiracy theories or religion. It's very attractive to people. I basically think my philosophy is that basically we're just corks in a stream. Just whatever way the current takes us, that's the way we end up. No, nobody knows anything, to quote a man we know well. So, but other people don't like that. They need to think that there's a guy behind the guy who's pulling the strings for it to make sense for them. And maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. There are a couple of bad apples, because there'll always be a temptation when there's a lot of money at stake. I understand that. But I certainly don't think it's rampant. And I don't think that the suggestion that it's state-sponsored and it's being covered up because Irish racing is such a big industry. Because the thing about cover-ups and conspiracies as well is it's very hard to keep a secret. Ultimately, the truth comes out. So they've been keeping this secret for a long time if Irish racing is rampant.
I think that you put that absolutely brilliantly there. I think the bad eggs do exist, as they do in all sports. My problem, Johnny Mac, is when the IHRB brings a proven drug case, a proven positive case, it is far, far too readily willing to accept the excuse of the trainer, which to my mind, a lot of the time, if not more often than not, is just not plausible. And they will take the very benign view. Oh yeah, it was by accident, or somebody else administered it, or it was the vet's fault, or blah, blah, blah. That's what pissed me off, and that they don't punish these instances enough when it's proven that there is a drug case. But as for the overall picture, I'd be with Juki.
Yeah, I think the widely held view is people want the IHRB to take a harder stance, isn't it, on the offenders. But it would really rock racing. I mean, the likes of athletics, swimming, cycling as well, greyhound racing, I mean, their credibility has taken major, major knocks, and you'd hate racing to get one of those, you know, if this is true.
A man whose credibility is sky high at the moment, a winner at Royal Ascot, is Johnny Murtagh. Fran and I spoke to him a few minutes ago, but before that, let's listen and watch his last Irish Derby winner.
Johnny's made the right pick. Kate Blanco wins the Derby.
Johnny Murtagh headed Derby weekend at the Curra. 3 days of fantastic race. New great success there as a rider, but you're aiming for more success as a trainer this weekend.
Yeah, Fran, it was always a great weekend, you know, to be part of it. You got a great bit of a buzz around the place, around the local villages, and you know, all your best horses were lining up at the Curragh. So it was a lot of pressure on, but nice pressure, you know, nice to ride those good horses, great track. And yeah, as you said, I had a good bit of luck down through the years on Derby weekend.
What was your favourite of the four winners?
Sindar was special. Listen, it's everybody says that was your favourite. Sindar is special because he won the Epsom Derby coming back then to the Curragh. It's always exciting to come back. The one I got most pleasure of was probably beating Sumion on Alamshar. You know, it was a great clash between His Highness's two great champions, Alamshar Dalakani.
And you outrode him that day.
Jeez, don't say that, Johnny. I'm here at the top of the Old Vic watching the horses go by. So we'll give everyone a sneak peek of what it's like to be a trainer here on the Curragh. This is where we are. Top of the Old Vic, you can see the horses there coming in the over my shoulder. So this is what I do every day. Great job. We've a nice bunch of two-year-olds coming up here now.
Sonny, you had an Aga Khan two-year-old run well in Nace on Wednesday night.
Nice filly. Was ready to start off. We hope with normal improvements, it should be hard to beat next time. But we have a few coming now. So 2 year-olds are a bit slow this year, but we have a few coming now. So hopefully there's one in here.
Is that a work morning, Johnny, or is that just a normal canter for you on a Friday morning with them?
Just a nice swing on a Friday morning. We usually work them fast, but they're after being busy the last couple of weeks. And, you know, this morning we just let everyone ride the 2 year-olds, come up in a big bunch like that. And but Friday is a work morning. But today, nice swinger up the Old Vic.
And Johnny, looking back on Royal Ascot last week, how a week on from that, what did that mean to you? Obviously, you won a Group 1 last year, won a Matron Stakes with Champions Elise, but to go to out of your home country, back to meeting your love, to train a winner there.
Yeah, well, so you know how hard it is to have winners at Royal Ascot, to have runners there with a chance is you know, it's tough going. We brought a nice bunch of horses over. They all ran really, really well. But to win a race, Royal Ascot, you know, it's right up there with one of the highlights of my training career to date. I hope it can keep continuing. But great feeling walking down those steps and walking into that special number one.
And what's the future plans for Create Believe? Where will you go with her?
I have her in the Kilboyd. It's a Group 2 at the Curragh. The race in Galway there is the race Champions Elise won last year before she went on. So those two, I think they're 4 or 5 days apart. We'll aim for the Curragh. If the ground ends up too quick, we'll take a chance in Galway. There's always, you know, an ease in the ground in Galway. So I think she's ready for a step up in class, and hopefully she can be a stakes filly now.
Just in relation to Earlswood, Johnny, as well, I suppose the fact that your old boss, John Ox, had such a role with this horse, it's a special horse going into the Irish Derby.
It is, and he thought he was good enough to enter him in the Epsom Derby, so that always gave me a great bit of confidence that he thought he was a nice horse in the making. He has been around the gallops, he has seen him, he's come out and watched him a couple of times, so always nice to get John's opinion at the top of the gallop. He worked last week up the Old Vic. We're happy with him. We haven't got him on the grass because the ground has been pretty dry here and the ground's been pretty quick. So he went up the grass, went up the Old Vic last week. Ben Cohn rode him, very happy. He's in good shape going into the race. The rain around is taking the sting out of the ground. He's won on soft ground. I don't know if he's just a soft ground horse. As long as there's no firm in it, I think he should be okay.
I suppose that's the thing. He's bipivotal and he's always run on ground with a little bit of cut in it.
He has, but that's just the way the races were. Like, we plan to run him at the Curragh this week. We plan to see, will he handle the better ground? He's very sound. He's very tough. He's very genuine. So I'm hopeful ground is not, you know, it helps him, but I don't think he needs it.
It's a proper Irish Derby this year, Johnny. Good to see all the English challengers over, wide variety of trainers, isn't it?
It is, you know, and the Irish Derby has been going through a bit of a lull in recent times just because Aidan has so many good horses. People don't want to come over and take him on. It's not his fault. It's just the way it's been. But this year looks very open. I think it's a good race. Second, third and fourth from Epsom is here. I thought it was a good race in Epsom. You know, the winner was good. There was a big spread in the field. And I suppose you know, the favourite, high definition. He's, you know, he's obviously very talented. He ran very well in York, and yeah, competitive race. But it's just great to be part of it. You know, when you start training, when I started training first, that's what I wanted to have. I wanted to have runners in Royal Ascot. I wanted to have runners Derby weekend, and I want to have runners in the Derby itself. So fair juice to everybody involved. The horses are in really good shape at the moment. They're peaking just at the right time. And Fran, we're hopeful. We're hopeful. But it, as you said, it's open, but it's...
Johnny, how big a learning curve was it for you? Because when you started training, you had a batch of horses from Andrew Tinkler, handicappers that are made in the UK, if you like. You got to go to war with them. But then you got to start from scratch as your own two-year-olds and bring them along. How big, 6, 7 years on, like, how big a learning curve was it for you looking back on that?
Sure. Listen, you're learning all the time. It's just like it's an adventure here every morning. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to do what. So it's a great job. But I think I've learned a lot. When you get those ready-made horses, it's pretty easy. Just get them fit. We've great gallops here on the Curragh. All the facilities are here, so you can get them fit pretty easy. It's just managing them and keeping their heads right and keeping them in a good place. And the two-year-olds. We were buying those fast, sharp ones at the start, and they will get you winners, but you know, you have to sell them at the end of the year, get another batch in. So in recent years, we're starting to kind of get better horses. You know, you're a bit more patient with them, and I bought a lot of big, nice, good-looking two-year-olds this year, but they seem to have been taking their time.
That's nicer though, isn't it? Because you know, they don't have a ceiling on their ability, where you're thinking this horse could be coming into his own as a four-year-old, like.
Yeah, it is. But like, you know, it's $2,000 a month. And if you're saying to an owner, oh yeah, he's going to be a lovely horse at four, you know, it's trying to manage, it's managing the owner's expectations and managing them as well as everything else. Like it's great saying, oh, he's a really nice horse and he'd be lovely in August of his three-year-old career. But I like to get on with them, get them out, let them see the track. And like the way our horses, they just seem to improve with racing, and I like to run them every 3 weeks. But going back to Fran's point, it's you're trying to do something different every year to make that year better, and you're always learning, especially with these 2 year olds.
It's also just a standard in Ireland. It nearly you either go hard or go home with the standard above you.
It's unreal. You know, we ran a few nice two-year-olds there early in the year, and you're finishing fifth or sixth, and you're thinking, oh God, I thought that one would run better. And then the winner goes on and wins the Queen Mary or the Chesham last week. Yeah, the standard in Ireland is so high. The opposition is, you know, and all the trainers, like, they're all, there's some top class trainers that if they get the ammunition, they're more than able to produce the goods. So but that's what you want to be. You want to be in the middle of that. You want to be competing against the best. And I think we're doing a good job. We're holding our own in what is a very, very competitive area.
Just your other two runners tomorrow, 4 Home 2 and New Emerald Bay Cheapies for the first time, but both of them were chances as well.
Yeah, New Emerald Bay, she's ready to run the best race this year. I think we had this race in mind for a while. Syndicate's racing. They're the luckiest owners I have in the yard. Everton Jack Cantillon touches seems to turn to gold. So we're hopeful for a big run from her. And 4 Home 2, I was very impressed with the way he ran the last time in Leopardstown. Didn't get the ideal run, slowly run race, but came home well. A mile around here on the round track should suit him well. He's a very nice horse, and he's one of them that wants us on the improve.
Johnny, on Sunday, stable stalwart Urban Beat, he's back in handicap company. I think he's not been fully fit yet this season. He's still carrying a bit. He's a bit older. Will he be ready for Sunday?
Big accusation there, friend.
One thing a trainer hates is a jockey coming and telling him he's not fit. That's one thing. But Franny is. He's getting a bit older. He's probably taking his race as well. I think he's running to his form. You know, he got a couple of pounds there for running really well early in the season. He's
He's back down. He's in handicap company. I put him on the scales yesterday. He's still round, isn't he? He's got bigger.
Heavier
than ideal, but that's his makeup. And as I said, maybe when he gets old, I can't do much more work on him, Fran. I can't do much more work on him. I think he's ready to go. And back in handicap company, I think he'd be very, very competitive.
Yeah, interesting. He just looks around now, obviously sprinter. And for viewers looking at tonight's racing Friday night, Sassified, a very good draw, and has been gelded and down in Trip, I thought is interesting.
Yeah, no, we liked him at the start of the year. I think he just ran into one in Navan. We thought he had a good chance in Navan. He's a big horse, so he's improved plenty over the winter. Last time, I don't know what happened. He just didn't seem to stay or didn't run his race. So we gelded him since. He seems to be in good form. He might just be one gallop short. You know, he's a big horse. He's hard to get fit. But he has a good draw. We're going to ride him forward. A lot of runners. Very competitive race. He's an each way chance.
Go ahead. Finally, Johnny, yourself and Ben Cohen are kind of like the original odd couple. He's a man, from what I know, of very few words. One of the most laid back characters ever. But imagine if he were to win an Irish Derby.
You might get a smile out. I think the lad said he smiled twice last week after winning the Royal Ascot. So, he's very mature for 19. You know, I have to remind myself he's only 19, but he came off the pony scene. He had plenty of experience. He went through a little stage where his weight wasn't good and he was probably sweating. And, you know, it's never easy when you're sweating that hard to do those lightweights. But, you know, I just told him 9 stone is good weight for him now. Maybe on the weekend if he wants to do a little bit lighter. He seems happy in himself. He seems really happy. You know, he's really in here every morning. He seems part of the team. And I suppose that's one thing I've learned since I started training. You trust the jockey, just leave him at. So I'm just leaving it up to him. He seems to know when he comes out to the ring to me, he seems to know what's going to happen in the races. He tells me what he's going to do. And 9 out of 10 times, that's what happens. So, again, I think he's only going to get better riding in these good races on these good horses, and couldn't be happier now with the way things are going. Yeah. Very sensible young man for 19.
Like yourself.
is that hard to let go of control when you're used to riding them? Did that take a bit of time for you to do that with riders?
Yeah, Shafran, like at the start, you want to tell them everything that you think is going to happen. I went through a stage then, I'm going to tell them nothing. And now I'm just, hey, you have to remember, when you book a jockey on a Friday for the weekend and you turn up at the races, he's in control then. If you didn't think he was good enough, you shouldn't have put him on in the first place. So yeah, I've learned to kind of let go, have the trust in them, give them that bit of confidence. And now I'm still fairly hard on them if they mess up. Don't worry about that. I think I'm getting better at that as well.
Thanks a million for your time.
Great, Johnny.
See you, lads. Have a good weekend.
Best of luck. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Fran, he's in great form. I've said this before. I've gone up to the Curragh Gallops. By the way, it's one of my one of these things. I'm becoming like one of these characters who basically talks about doing stuff, but is doing less and less with every week. I'd love to do a year long documentary at the Curragh, following the characters with the backdrop of the Curragh, the sun in the morning rising, the characters Kevin Prendergast to Frank Oakes to Johnny Murta. But I've said this before. I went to the Curragh one morning where you're like feeling kind of run of the mill, and Johnny Murta put you in good form 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, he loves what he does, Johnny, doesn't he? And he's really making a big success of his new career, isn't he? He did an ultra-successful riding career, as we well know, but he's transferred that to the flat game as a trainer now. And not easy done, Johnny. Not many ex-riders have done that, and he's really making the grade. And that winner, Royal Ascot, last week was well-executed plan. The rain arrived in time for Create Belief, but he's at the right age and the right stage of his career to really step it up now, Johnny.
Yeah, Dukie, you got to admire these ex-jockeys who take on, you know, the tough choice in life by becoming trainers as opposed to the easy one, joining the media.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, this media game, the shark infested waters, Johnny, I know too well. But yeah, very tough. And again, another man who has made progress year on year. Johnny Murta, organic growth. He's proven himself with horses. He's getting a better class of horse, which is very exciting to see for those of us who think the game is straight. He's flying it.
I suppose the other thing, Johnny Mack, I was just saying, how did John Oxnot win a maiden with Earlswood? And then I looked at the last one Earlswood had. Race was won by Arthur Toscanini. Sir Lamorack was behind him, as was the Mediterranean.
Yeah. But Johnny Marty's he's a very likable fella, isn't he? Fran, you would have had Manny Jules. You rode a second jockey to him, didn't you, John Oxnot?
Did, yeah. Johnny, he's... In his riding days, we used to clash quite a bit. We get on well. Second jockey to him and Mick Cannan after that was two different experiences. You know, Johnny had weight issues and it was a tough existence for him riding, really, you know. So, you know, it took a good bit out of him. And Mick was a totally different character, obviously. But look, he's a big personality. He's a good fella and a fantastic rider. But what he does is he's great belief in himself. No matter what he's doing, he thinks he's the best at it. And, you know, last year he won the Matron Stakes. I interviewed him afterwards on Racing TV. And he says, I'm Johnny Murta, the trainer now. I don't want anyone to refer to me as Johnny Murta, the ex-Derby winning jockey. You know, he's moved on and that's where his viewpoint is. It's all about progressing. And, you know, that's the way he was as a jockey. And he's definitely that as a trainer now.
Just before we finish up on him, Fran, what I like there is the fact he said, yeah, but it's $2,000 a month, you know, and he said this. I remember I was at some roadshow or something that he was at a preview night of something or other when he was starting off as a trainer, and he said he was £60 a day. And I was like, at the time, Johnny Murta had not made it as a trainer at all. He was going grand. And I said, you're a brave man. He said, well, listen, I came from Ballydoyle. I'm feeding them the best. I'm giving them the best of everything I can. I'm charging £60 a day. That's that. And look where he's at now, I guess.
Yeah, but that's the problem with a lot of trainers, Johnny. They start off too cheap. They undercut each other and it's a race to the bottom. And then they find out 3 years down the line that they're broke. You know, if you're going to start out and if you've got confidence in yourself, okay, you're going to have to maybe take half shares in a horse or whatever. But if you start undercutting your business plan and you're running at a loss, it's not going to add up in the longer term, you know. So Johnny knew that. He's seen what it takes to achieve it and he set out a stall that way.
Couldn't agree more. I hope there's a bit of historic repetition from my perspective in terms of the Irish Derby this year compared to last year when there was a pretty well-fancied winner.
Racing on with two to go, and Santiago has burst through the field to lead them in the closing stages of the Derby and is sprinting away from Tiger Mott, who's eating into the advantage on the outside, the Order of Australia, and after them is Gold May, Santiago, Tiger Mott still coming on the near side. They're inside the final half furlong. Santiago is digging to the end. Santiago, 14 Irish Derbies for Aidan O'Brien, has held Tiger Mott, Dawn Patrol from a long way back ahead of Order of Australia, and then Fiscal Rules.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, lads. We'll start off our preview of Saturday with the Irish Derby, which takes place this year at the time of 3:45. Used to be a little bit of a matinee meeting. Juki, let's start with you. You were dead against Santa Barbara, obviously, when she ran in the Oaks. Not a similar horse here in the shape of High Definition, who's very lightly raced, but you imagine he's considerably more straightforward. The question here is, do you back him or do you back something each way that is a bigger price as a consequence of him being in the race?
I'm not sure about the horse. I definitely think he's honest, but he lacks tactical speed. Now, maybe that's because he's a bit mentally slow. And he will, in time, pick his ideas up in the middle of the race. But I'm just not convinced that he's only 2-1. So I'm not sure if that good. That's the problem. Now, maybe he won't have to be a top-class horse to win this. And he does look a very strong stare. But I was drawn to this Lone Eagle. Now, I'm not sure what to make of him either, because in Goodwood, the ground was filthy and it was a very windy day. And of course, he's a Galileo, so he jumped out in front. I mean, you'd ride these Galileos into battle. He jumped out in front, was buffeted by the wind, not a bother on him, just stuck on really well. But it was a massive step up on his comeback in Sandown in that classic trial that worked out really well, because he turned the form around in Goodwood with Yibber by quite a margin. I thought it was a big step up. He seems, all right, his best form has come on soft ground. He seems a fairly ground versatile horse. he's definitely tactically versatile. Now, I think there's plenty of pace on here, but just in case something silly happens with the tactics for Ballygall, Frankie'd be happy to jump out and make the run. And the horse, again, like High Definition, is a very strong stayer. And I thought at 8-1, he was a fair price.
I actually spoke to Sylvester D'Souza after he was scratched for the Derby, and he was disappointed. But I suppose the reason he was disappointed, Fran, was the fact that he couldn't see any pace in the race at Epsom, which was one Ballydoyle runner. And he's like, you know, I could be quids in here and just kind of dictate around Epsom, which will not be the case at the Curragh.
It won't. Look, High Definition, he's not a backable price at 2-1. I think I do think he'll be hard to beat if progressing from the Dante run. I thought that was very, very taken in the last furlong when he got going, and the way he went through the line, you let that video run on and look at the way he went around the bend in York. It was very taken with him. His form now, you can knock his form last year. Moon has said he beat him the Beresfords. He hasn't done a lot for the form, but it's the manner in which he'd done it. I do think a mile and a half, we could see a different proposition tomorrow, given Aidan's had 5 weeks since York to get him ready. And will he be backing with that? No, but I think he'll win. I'd actually going to back Van Gogh each way, believe it or not. I think he's better with a cut in the ground. Going a mile and a half on good ground, he's very interesting. He had a wide draw. I was held up in Chantilly in the French Derby. Could never get into it. Wasn't beaten too far and ran extremely well. Both runs over mile, or sorry, Irish Guineas over mile. Didn't run badly in Newmarket in the Guineas. Colin Keane on board, I think, a 14-1. Some firms going four places, that'll do me now as a poke.
What's your take on the Derby form itself, which will obviously be represented by Hurricane Lane here, who was third? I think you were talking about maybe this the horse in second being a little bit flattered on the day. Mojo Star, who obviously reopposes. What do you make of that form in general?
Look, we'll find out tomorrow. Mojo Star, he's bred for the job. He's bred to get better, obviously, at a mile and a half, as he did do in Epsom. I just think he had a very good run around behind the winner, and the winner done the hard work from in Epsom. He did a lovely run, and he was riding him to be placed, and he duly was. It might be a different scenario tomorrow, and the jury is out for me on that. I do think Hurricane Lane, based on what we've seen, Dante, he maybe had a... Him and Max Sweeney might have had a worse trip than the Hannon Horse Mojo Star, and I'd be prepared to forgive Hurricane Lane maybe more so. Max Sweeney, did he get the trip in Epsom? We don't know, and we don't know if he can win on good ground. He's never raced on it. He never performed to the same level on it, and maybe in a mile and a half he might get away with it on the ground, but he still has them two things to prove to me.
How did you bet Johnny Mac?
They are 7-4 High Definition, 9-2 Mojo Star, Johnny. I agree with Fran. Mojo Star, he flew down off Tottenham Corner, Fran, didn't he? But I couldn't see the others. I can't see why the others had reversed that form. We're 5's Hurricane Lane, 7's Max Winnie, Lone Eagle 15-2. And there was money around earlier in the week. Fran mentioned Van Gogh. There was money around for him earlier in the week. You might have been in our shops, Fran, backing him each way. He's 12-1 now.
The masks are handy now, John. You can get in anywhere.
Yeah. What do you like, Johnny Mac?
I will put up Lone Eagle. I thought he won well at Goodwood the last day. I know he was fourth in the Classic Trial. Thought he might be a bit of value.
What price are your words worth?
We are 16-1. He's hardly quick enough, Johnny, is he?
Yeah, I'm going to go with him. He does look slow. There's no doubt about it. And obviously at Ascot, he was kind of on and off the bridle. But that was a slowly run race, really. Essentially, I don't think it suits him. For me, it's really interesting. Aidan O'Brien runs him again here. I love backing Aidan O'Brien's second strings if they're by Galileo in races like this, or third strings or whatever he is in this. Obviously, we saw that in the Irish 1000 Guineas that you don't need to be on the favourite necessarily of Aidan's. And I think there's going to be a lot of pace on here. And this horse is probably just getting better with the experience. And as much as if High Definition is kind of, relatively close at the 2 furlong pole, you'll be expecting him to win. If this race turns into one of these crazy races like it was when Sovereign run it, I think Wordsworth will be just keeping going when others will cry enough. So I'm going to take a chance on him. He's out at Chelsea Rose, obviously, so he's definitely bred for the job. The rest of the Curragh card, just the whole weekend, Dukie, is really fascinating, including Friday's card, which we mentioned. On Saturday, we have the Railway Stakes, the Group 2 race. We have the Holy International Stakes, which is a Group 3. We have the Celebration Stakes and a couple of big handicaps as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Railway Stakes looks a ripe renewal, doesn't it? I've actually... I'm going to have a bet that it's probably a race to watch. But I just couldn't let the entertainer run a 33-1 because I was so impressed with him in Navan. And it's not like, I mean, it wasn't an outrageously strong maiden, but the second has gone and won since, the third has won since. He put that race to bed in two strides. Then he goes for the Marble Hill and he blows out, granted. But that ground was basically unraceable, wasn't it? I mean, you could surely forgive a horse a bad run on that ground, particularly a horse with his pedigree. So I was just, when I saw him chalked up at 33-1, for the sake of forgiving one run, a few shekels on him, nothing hectic. What else?
Do you know what it is, actually, briefly interrupt you, I'm totally with you on that. I've looked at this race kind of up and down and look back at that run at Navan. He travels like such a nice horse. And again, they're pitching him back into this race. He was only threes the last day on unraceable grounds. And the horses, I think, that ran in Royal Ascot, you can probably say that they sort of had their chance. Even Masetto, who kind of was a little bit unlucky, I backed him. He wasn't overly unlucky. So I'm, again, it's price related, Juki, but I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I actually thought Go Bears Go looked around. I think he'd have won with a bit of company. And I think Catamasto missing the break. I mean, God knows they tried to get a second run into him, Johnny, but they couldn't do it. And ultimately, that might have caught. I think you might be being a bit harsh, but the horse is 33-1. How much damage can we do? We have to be right about once every 6 months to make this positive EV. So we'll have something small on the entertainer.
This is why you love this podcast. It's like we make excuses for losers and we can get away with being right once every 6 months.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, what did you make of this? Because this is a tip. You might like this. This is a tip based purely on jockey booking. But what did you make of CT Keane riding this marbling in the half two? The filly's handicap for 100 grand. So they bought this filly. I mean, I think it was a right bit of business, in fairness, 42 grand for a winning daughter of Kingman. That would seem cheap, even if she was really moderate. But they bought her for 42 grand in November. She hasn't run. There might be all sorts of reasons for that. But maybe the reason is they're looking at this 100 grand pot. And bear in mind, they did something similar a couple of years ago with that buffer zone, who they got out of Charlton's, didn't run them then until Derby weekend. Landed a touch and a nice pot to go with it. So I was very interested because he could have ridden Amber Kite, and Amber Kite must have a right chance. She ran the group race the last day. She's dropping the handicap company. You think, well, CTK will be all over this. But no, he rides Marbling. So I think that could be highly significant. Any cash for Marbling, and I'll probably be following it in. And finally, I'm waffling away here. This mile handicap of 5.25, this Eagle's Flight. So I was listening to Halford doing an interview after he won in Leopardstown. And I can't remember if it was Fran, but whoever was interviewing him anyway did a good job. Got him to talk about the horse. He said, the horse hasn't been straightforward. I think we've just found the key to him. And based on that run, he might well have found the key to him. He was maybe 10 wide, he challenged on the bend. He was being thrown sideways as the race was going on ahead of him. The second has gone and won since. The third has gone and won since. He's got £8, granted. That's not nothing. But the Eagle's Flight is a common force, and I think he's my one for Saturday.
Marbling, just to go back to that, Fran, if you like your marbling on your steak and that butcher's that we gave a big plug to recently, but to be fair, this horse is very interesting. It's coming from Andre Farb, so I'm not going to suggest I have any idea if this horse will handicap to 86, but Juki makes a good case. Circumstantial evidence, of course.
He does, she's a standout, and there's a one with a similar profile in that race, Dilawara, trained by Joseph O'Brien. Joseph had Mighty Blue and one or two others come from France last year, pitched into Philly's handicaps, and they all done well. And Dilawara and Marbling were the two I marked on that sheet. They could be blots. Maybe they're not much good. Maybe they haven't trained on, but given the two stables that they're coming from, and I agree that Colin Keane riding Marbling is quite significant, and Dilawara would give a mention to. That international stakes of 4.20 over a mile and a quarter. Good to see Cadillac back out. Hadn't seen him at all this year. He looked a proper two-year-old last year. Whether going to Newmarket and going to Breeders' Cup has left its mark, but he's had plenty of time to get over that. And in the 5.55, thought Shoshone Warrior ran very well in debut for Joseph O'Brien. It hadn't been not a bad horse with Aidan. He's got top weight stepping up to 2 miles. He might be of interest, but Nap of the Day is in the Railway Stakes, Johnny. Dr. Zempf, I was very taken by him on debut, as we spoke about him on the pod a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a spectacular performance. As Juki said, what a renewal of the Railway Stakes that is. And I know you like one or two, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, I always liked Castle Star, and I thought Joseph's horse didn't do the form any harm at Royal Ascot. It ran very well in the saddle in the Coventry, but Dr. Zemp was very, very impressive. Hands and heels riding under Colin Keane on his debut, and he'll be a formidable opponent to Castle Star. I thought Romantic Proposal have a big chance in the first as well. That was a good run behind Paddy Toomey's filly the last day. And quick mention, Mary Salome, you might not agree, but she's off a dangerous racing weight. Siobhan Rutledge has taken 7 off 8.7 in the second race. I thought she could be dangerous off a low weight.
Just to mention Cuilín Sonnaithe as well, which is the Shannon Wood, for those of you who don't understand Irish. This horse joined Willie McCreary rated 46. And if you joined in the gamble at Leopardstown when this horse was beaten 4 3/4 of a length, to be fair, it was unlucky on the day. But now you see it's running in a premier handicap of 78 and probably still has a chance. Incredible job Willie has done with progressing that horse. But let us move on to Sunday. Feature of which is the Almasima Pretty Polly Stakes, which is run at 3:40 and produced a brilliant winner last year in the shape of Magical.
Racing in the straight with 2.5 furlongs to go, and Magical is pointing the toe out for home, has readily gone clear from Rocco Roma, and then Kay and Pepper, True Self and Fleeting in the center of the track. But Magical is in glorious isolation, racing to the final furlong. Is way out in front of K.N. Pepper. Fleeting is running on the outside of True Self. But it's multiple Group 1 winner Magical, who's set to add another on her return to action. The Almasima Pretty Polly Stakes, a brilliant return. K.N. Pepper's second, third Fleeting, fourth True Self. Rocco Roma dropped back to last.
Let's start here. What a captivating renewal of this race is. I am firmly in the belief here that there is no excuse whatsoever for Santa Barbara, except the excuses that we'll make afterwards if she's beaten Juki. This horse, I thought she travelled like a really good horse in the Oaks. She's still inexperienced. She's dropping back to 1.2 with the Curra, where she's obviously won. I think she's literally zero excuses here. It is a good field, but I think she should go very, very close at the very least.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're backing her with your money, because I wouldn't back her with your money. So you kick on, you're getting a price, because there's an awful lot of doubts about her, legitimate doubts in my view. But that's I thought that the pace was interesting here. I thought Willie McCreary could help himself. I couldn't find a lot of obvious front runners, but Epona Plays has been getting on with it this season. And I thought if she jumped out in front, that might help this Insinuendo, who's a very interesting filly. So she's only had 3 runs, goes and wins her maiden at a price. Maybe she doesn't show a lot at home last back end, comes out in Tipperary in a race that has worked out well, is beaten a half a length by Harper Crades over an inadequate trip, and she probably still would have won but for green if she just ran about a bit in the last furlong. Then goes to Nace and beats that Thunder Kiss, albeit by a narrow margin, but Thunder Kiss has gone and boosted the form since. This is a progressive filly, and she probably has to find about 8 or 10 pounds here, which is significant, but it definitely could happen. But what's been hampering her, I think, is she's been quite keen early on in her races. So if Opponent Plays can go a nice even gallop, that will help Opponent Plays with the tactical advantage, but it would also help stablemate Insinuendo to settle off those fractions. And I will take her to come through and burgle this prize at a double figure price.
Johnny Mack, are you with her against this jolly?
I like Opponent Plays, Johnny. She's been handling the step up in class in really good style. Very impressive the last day. And I'll side with her, Willie McCreary's, whose team are flying at the moment. I think 4 of his last 5 have won.
Yeah, daughter of Australia, who's been absolutely progressive this season. Brilliant performance at the Curra last time. It's a deep race, Fran.
Yeah, race to watch more so than anything else for me. Santa Barbara, no excuses. Right trip for her on Sunday. Good ground. Had her runs. Did travel very well into the race in the Oaks. So, look, she's a sister to Iridesa, whose best trip was 10 furlongs. So, look, we'll reserve judgment on her until Sunday. Maybe she is a very good price. She's 7-2 at the minute, but I'm happy to watch her. Thundering Nights, I'm a big fan of this one. I think she ran very well in America. And if I was to play one against the 3-year-olds, it'd probably be her.
What about the rest of the card? Your beloved Yes, who absolutely flopped at Royal Ascot, when I think even I backed her. I think we all backed her. Got involved in the Daughter of Warfront. You know the rest. But to be fair, you were making excuses, of course, straight after the race. Oh, she was drawn the wrong end of the track or some nonsense. How will she get on Sunday?
I'd like to see, I think she'd be in the first five anyway, Johnny.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath, but go on anyway.
look, jury's firmly out. It was hopefully too bad a run to be true, but no apparent excuses. Cheer up, Sleepy Jean. Looks good opportunity for her. She ran very well in Royal Ascot for the stack team. Happy to watch that race. I do like Urban Beat in the Rockham. Zarzini's interesting. David Barron is bringing him over, an ex-Irish trained horse, Aga Khan. And he was just beaten ahead in Musselburgh when last seen. Sam Ewing taken right. He's drawn and stalled 14, which shouldn't be a negative, Zarzini. But Urban Beat is just interesting. Back into handicap company and a good draw and stall. Well, you would think is a good draw and stall, 17 at least. And of the rest of the card, handicaps, the Curra Cup, I'd be looking at Pondus there. If he can be bide his time and wait for longer and be landed on line, he could win, for all that he's not the most resolute at the finish.
Yeah, of course, the Battle of Arnhem, Dukey, was a famous battle. We've mentioned the Warfront. We'll now mention the Battle of Arnhem. Arnhem is the bottom weight in that race. Is Arnhem one of your fancies on the Sunday?
No, good trivia. Arnhem, is that a World War II battle?
I think it was Hitler's last roll of the dice in 1940, late 44, when he tried to surprise the Allies and it all went pee-tong. It's kind of, it's good to get all these war references in, because we do need to go to war over the 3 days with the Corajuki. What like on day three?
What a segue, and I'll see your segue and raise you a segue. That is some great trivia, the Battle of Arnhem, and I'm going to wedge that into conversation on my date on Sunday somehow. The Battle of Arnhem.
I mean, I'm not sure you want to mention Hitler's, like World War II. Anyway, we'll see. I mean,
anyway, we'll see. But anyway, you got your dig in at Warfront, so that's that boxed off for this episode. On to next week. My two are actually in two tricky handicaps, granted, but Blair Main runs in the half two, this 6 furlong handicap, back at his beloved Curra. He's off a mark he can be competitive off, ran perfectly well. In fact, ran above expectations on his comeback in Nace, narrowly went down to half nuts, and then nothing went right in Fairy House the next day. He missed a break and he got messed around up the straight. I've forgiven that. Back at the Curra, Blair Main must have a good chance. And in the Rockingham, very open race, as Fran has already mentioned. But this strong Johnson isn't totally exposed. I saw there were double figure prices around earlier in the week. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but fairly relatively unexposed horse, very good effort in Tipperary the last time, second, beaten ahead by a progressive sort, good course record. This McRedmond Jumfla looks value for the £7. So I thought I might take a chance on Strong Johnson in 3.05.
And Blair Main, of course, a stablemate of Arnhem. What do you like on the final day of the Irish Derby Festival, Johnny Mack?
One or two of them. Cheer up, Sleepy Jean. I thought it'd be hard to beat. Fozzy Staff, interesting, he's declared her. That's going to be her first start over six. She had a very good run in the Queen Mary. And the Rockingham, we've got the 1-2-3 from last year's Rockingham. Urban Beat, Strong Johnson, both of them already mentioned. And we've got the McCreary filly as well, Jungle Jane. It's been a while since she's shown any form, but she could be worth a chance in that Rockingham, given the form of the McCreary runners.
Right, it's time for naps, starting with you, Juki.
Okay, so in the 5:25 in the Curra on Saturday, Eagles Flight.
Let's go over to you, Fran Berry.
I have a confession to make. When these 2-year-olds won at the Curra, Point Lonsdale and Dr. Zenf, I thought wherever they go, the next day they'll do me. So Point Lonsdale just about done the business in the Chesham last week. Dr. Zenf, when he was declared yesterday morning, he was 4-1 with a certain firm. And I got a friend of mine to go into the shop and he got 130. He's 5-2 now, but even at that, I'll chance Dr. Zenf at 5-2 in the Railway Stakes at 2 in the half two on Saturday. I think he's very good. I have maximum respect for Castle Star, but I think this 2-year-old's a bit different of Geraldine's.
I think if you went to confession box and that was your confession, the priest would probably have a 10-minute chat to you about the form of the weekend.
Just the interest of, in case somebody says, back to the 4-1 the day before or something like that. There you go.
Okay. He's a very honourable man, Johnny Mack.
He is, yeah. I wouldn't like to be laying his bets now.
You're a bookmaker. That's what you're there for. Literally, that is your job. Lay bets. What are you backing the weekend?
I'm going to put up a romantic proposal for Team Lynham in the dash. We'll go with that. Johnny, before we finish, we're price boosting all favourites across all channels at the Curragh this weekend.
That is 21 favourites, or give or take, with if you throw in a few. 21 favourites, give or take. Certainly an incentive to get involved. I'm going to go with another Kingman bred as my nap, Sinewan, in the Dubai Duty Free Celebration Stakes. Big fan of this horse. Backed him in the Champions Stakes weekend last year when he was a little bit unlucky. Lovely comeback run. Should have a great chance, lads. It's a brilliant, brilliant weekend. Few people back racing. Juki, you have to send Racing TV some sort of a... selfie of you, and possibly so a Saturday selfie of you at the Derby, and maybe a Sunday selfie of you on the date.
I'm on radio cam tomorrow. I'll go and get a word with Juki.
Do. So, I mean, all the On the Wire listeners and viewers, there's so much to look forward to. Thanks a million, lads.
Thank you, Johnny.
Enjoy the weekend. Thanks. Thank you for tuning in to On the Wire Racing TV's podcast, brought to you in association with Bar One Racing. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave a review, give us a like, and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And this podcast is available on video format in all its glory on YouTube. And you'll also find us on racingtv.com and on audio at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and numerous other platforms. Don't forget, if you are having a bet this weekend following any of our selections or so on, gamble responsibly and do visit begambleaware.org for more information.